part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled, There's More.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now I want to talk about the word creature for just a minute. The word creature is not a grasshopper. The word creature is body, the physical body. The earnest expectation of the physical body waits for the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. Why are they waiting? Because there's more. And the creature, physical body, that which is the physical, serious material realm, that's waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. I'm trying to connect the concept that at the manifestation of the sons of God, there'll be an overcoming of death in the physical body realm. The sons of God will do it. And all creation groans. Well, we'll get that in a minute. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, H-O-P-E, hope. Let's talk about the creature not willing. My body is subject to vanity, and I'm not willing. Your body is subject to vanity, and you're not willing. You're not willing to go through the bondage of corruption, and you're vain about it. And if you weren't vain about it, then why was it that the last time you looked in the mirror, saw another gray hair, you plucked it out? It's because you were vain. Right? And you saw something else wrong and you went to the drugstore. And you bought a tube of this and a bottle of that, and you colored this and glued that. And you bought something to pull this in and push that out. Because you're vain. And you're fighting the bondage of corruption, and it's working on the creature. You see that scripture there? It's working on the physical body, the creature, the physical body, not grasshopper now, don't get that wrong. Because the creature itself, the body itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Can I read that 4 or 5 times? The body itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The physical body itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That which is physical, that which you look at in a mirror, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved in the body realm by hope. Now, when you got saved in the heart realm and gave your heart and spirit to Jesus, you were saved by grace through faith, right? Did anyone here ever do anything good enough to get Jesus in the heart? Can't find anybody. How many have noticed that it takes a lot of work for an attitude change? That's where you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling in the soul, mind realm. And that salvation takes place with faith and works. But the salvation of the body, I find no scripture anywhere that ever uses the word faith for body salvation. What's the word? Hope. For hope is a future tense verb. Faith is a present tense verb. Now we can exercise faith for things and bring it into the now. But when you're hoping for something, it's always for the... You're waiting. Did you hear that word over and over again? Waiting? That's a terrible word, isn't it? Waiting. That's almost as bad as patience. Don't like either one of those words, but the Bible's full of them. Especially when it comes to the body salvation. Because there's more. And who wants to wait for more? Not me. I already learned patience, so give it to me now, Lord. Oh, give me your basket full, Lord. Sock it to me. I'm ready, Lord. Well, what kind of prayer is that? What was the lesson we had last week? Tempting the Lord, right? Tempting the Lord. We're not ready. There's nobody here. I already looked you over. Can't find anybody here that's ready for the glory of the Father in the physical body, because the minds still need more engrafting of the Word of God, changing our minds from what we are to what we ought to be. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Can I go past that word patience and act like it wasn't even there? With patience, wait for it. Huh? Let's just go slip on through there, right on there. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. Do we know that? To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You really believe that? All things? Are you sure? All things? Oh, you mean, and we know that all good things work together. Wrong again. And we know that all things, the good and the bad things, work together for good. Oh, probably another mistake. How many believe that God is sovereign? Boss? Do you believe God's boss? Do you believe God was boss yesterday? If God was boss yesterday and the day before, that means the things that happened yesterday and the day before were a part of his will. That means that the things that happened in your life a while back, I'm talking about the good things and the bad, were for your perfection, to make you what you are tonight. Can you believe that? Tell you something, if you can believe that, you have come a long ways in Christian maturity. If you can really believe that all the things that have happened in your life have brought you to where you are tonight for your perfection, even the bad things, you're quite mature. There are some people who are beginning to believe that because they are growing up.
When I began to first play with that thought,
it was hard at first, and then began to see that it was true. It was true in my life. He was there the day I fell in the well. He was there all the times some of the other things happened. And if he was there in my life,
he was there in yours. And when I could realize that God has made you what he wants you to be tonight, then I could actually love you.
I could accept you the way you are tonight.
See, until I got to that point in maturity, I had a lot of changing I wanted to do
in a lot of other people. Let's do that again. None of you know anything about that, do you? Wanting to change other people. Having a whole list of things you wanted to change them into and make them into something they weren't. But that's not God's way. God is sovereign, and he made them the way they are tonight because he wants them the way they are tonight. Because he's going to do something with them tomorrow. It sure does make a whole lot of difference in getting along with each other when you can believe that God is sovereign. The next verse is the Presbyterian verse. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What I emphasize? Many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Now let's do that again. Justified. glorified. He missed, left out sanctified there, didn't he? Well, anyway, there's another verse that gives it. Justified, sanctified, and glorified. Now, in this realm of predestination, it's hard. There's been an argument, and if we get that going, we'll have an argument here tonight. Whenever you got two Christians, you have an argument about predestination. But let's try to settle it this way. In a great man's house, there are many vessels. Some of the vessels are created unto honor, and some to dishonor. Can the thing created say to the Creator, "Why hast thou created me thus?" In the realm of predestination, the first thing, you didn't choose, but you received a body as pleased Him. Some masculine, some feminine, that kind of thing. And you had no choice in that matter. Furthermore, some of the bodies were very strong and some weren't so strong. Some were beautiful and some weren't. And that's just the way it came. Furthermore, some of the bodies had very slow minds and some had very sharp minds. And it didn't seem to have anything to do with how much the mother or daddy wanted one or the other. It's just the way God set that vessel, for He is the great man. You see it? And we don't have any right or opportunity in that realm. Some of you are aware of the fact that we recently ran into a new situation where we just don't have the opportunity to tell God what kind of a vessel to give us. And we just, there's no way out of it. And in a great man's house, He builds these various vessels. And some are predestined. Some are foreordained. Some are called and some are chosen for various jobs and various reasons. Okay, now I'm ready to ask you a question. Maybe I can get to the answer. Why are you here? I'm not talking about just tonight. That's not the idea. I'm interested in where you came from and why you're here. Maybe you're here for your own development and perfection. And maybe you're here for the great man's plans and purposes. It'd be interesting if we could take the time to find the real genuine thing that comes up from the heart. You see, if you've got something that turns in your heart and says, "I'm here for the plans and purposes of God," then some of your decisions won't be quite so selfish as if you're here for your own personal development. There are just a lot of people walking the face of this earth who believe that they're here for their personal needs and development, and other people should be manipulated to serve them. Have you met them? I would say the majority are like that, wouldn't you? And yet, there are some who have something that churns within them, and it says, "I'm not here for my purposes. I don't count so much." Oh, it's not that we are going to poke our eyes out or anything like that. It's just that what I have, somehow, I have to hold lightly, and just, it's not really for me, it's for others to use and to have. Now, God entrusts it to me, and I sign the checks for it and all that, but, and if the bills aren't paid, I'm the one that has to squirm it through, but still, I'm not here for my purposes. And you can work that, let that work in you for a while and find out why you are here. It'll help a lot in your decision making later on. Now, I've done a lot of scriptures here tonight on this Romans 8 thing, and I'm going to quit that now because I'm running out of time. But the idea was, and throughout the whole scripture, say it, there's more. That's not all. They haven't arrived. Even we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, there's more. The whole thing is, there's more. Turn with me to Hebrews now for just a minute, please. Hebrews. Chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 17, by faith Abraham. 20, by faith Isaac. 21, by faith Jacob. 22, by faith Joseph. 23, by faith Moses. 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness remained strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Boy, that sure is a victory. But the next verse isn't so much. And these all, verse 39, having obtained a good report, I'm in 39, these all having obtained a good report through faith. Were they in heaven? Had Jesus already descended into the lower parts of the earth? Had he already spoken to the spirits which were aforetime disobedient? Had he already taken captivity captive? Were these guys in heaven by now? And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Because, say it, there's more. That's not the end of it. Were they in heaven? How many know that Christendom's whole goal is to go to heaven? And he says the guys in heaven didn't get the promise. Because there's more. I don't want to go to heaven. How's that for good preaching? I don't want to go to heaven. I want to bring heaven here. I want to live in heaven while I'm alive right now. I don't want to die and go to heaven. I'd rather live and stay here and bring heaven here. And you know how to do that. Peter said, all you have to do is add your faith virtue. All you have to do. Add your virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness phileo love, agape love. And then he said, you'll never fail, fall, or die. Now the top two steps of attitude changes, hear me, attitude changes, not doctorates, not intellectual achievements, but attitude changes. The top two steps are love, phileo love and agape love. And then he said, when you become a lover, you cannot die. So we have Christian lawyers and Christian lovers. Now what happens to our Christian lawyers? You know, the rock throwing guys, the Moses guys, what happens? Christian lawyers are the gospel of the circumcision, and they have to die. But the Christian lovers, what does Peter say? You'll never fail, fall, or die. You cannot fail, fall, or die if you're a lover. So lovers live. And I want to be a loving liver. Living lover? Watch it. These all, having obtained a good report, through faith they did not receive the promise. Don't let anyone tell you Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have got it made. They're in heaven, yes, but they have not received the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, the ones who are alive and remain, that they, the dead ones, you know, they, the ones who are up in heaven, without us, cannot be made, say it, perfect. They cannot be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we, the ones who are alive and remain, are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. And who's in that cloud of witnesses? Well, it was 1974 and Paul Ebaugh heard the whistle blow and he dropped the ball. And he retired to the sidelines. Now Paul's up there with Jesse and Jesse's there with his father Harold and on it went back to Jan Jacob Ebaugh. And then it went on back to the e-boxes that were over there in the European e-boxes, all the way back to Adam Ebaugh. Now let's read about him. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, where it says great a cloud of witnesses, I want you to change that to the Ebaugh family. Oh, that doesn't work. Well, put your name in there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What's the sin that doth so easily beset us? Death. Law brings death. We'll prove that in a minute. Sin that does so easily beset us. You know what I used to think that was? Not bringing the tithes to the preacher. And let us run with patience. That's that word patience again, so cross it out. The race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now watch it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now let's do that again. If you know the glory that shall be revealed in you, then it ought to make it easier for you to go through the rough places now. For Jesus knew, and for the joy of that which was the good things that were set before him, he endured the hard things. Now I'm going to do that again. Now keep your finger there. Oh, it won't work here in Hebrews. That was over in Romans about the hard things. But it's the basic idea that the hard things we endure because of the joy that's set before us. But how can you endure hard things if you don't have the vision? For where there is no vision, what's the next word? The people perish. And no one taught Dad to seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. That's in the Bible, isn't it? Romans 2:7. And no one taught it because the Holy Spirit had not shined the light of truth on that scripture yet. And preachers did not preach on seeking glory, seeking honor, and seeking immortality back then, because Peter said that that truth of the light of the Holy Spirit will not shine on that verse until the last days.
I tell you, that makes me feel religious.
That makes me feel good to realize that these are the last days and that the Lord God has called you and me and sent us to a generation, I don't know whether you caught that or not, sent us to a generation that angels and prophets have desired to look into and revealing things that former generations, though they were good Christians, didn't know because there's more. We're not finding fault with them. It's just that at that time, it wasn't time to reveal it. Because God said it'll be at the time appointed of the Father, not the time appointed by the children. And he said that will be the end of the one age and the beginning of the new age. Well, those who've studied with us know that we believe, according to Daniel chapter 8, that from 1945 till 1978 is the end of the old age and the beginning of the new age. 45 to what did I say? 70 what? 8. Well, we're pretty close to the end of the old system. Pretty close to the end of the old ways of doing things. And the reason you're in so much trouble right now is that it's hard to let go of the old when the new comes rolling around. 2,000 years ago, they had the same trouble. And they couldn't let go of the law and inner grace. So God, in his mercy, gave them a mixture of law and grace and called it the gospel of the circumcision. They couldn't let go of the old and enter the new, so he gave them a mixture for a while. And you know, in a sense, that was good for God to do because they just couldn't adapt. Can you imagine being taught all your life about how wrong it is to eat a pig and then go to Woolworths and order a BLT at the counter? Just can't do it. And Peter couldn't do it. Finally got to the point where Paul couldn't do it either. Okay, go to the last verse. It's in Romans chapter 12. We've been on Romans. We did a little thing in Hebrews for a minute. I'm going to go back to Romans to wind it up. Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans 11 because I like that better. Start in 29. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through the unbelief of the Jews, even so now have these also... I'm sorry, not Jews, Israel. Even so now have these also now not believed that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. I'll do that again. How shall Israel obtain mercy? Say it. Through the mercy of the cross? Through the mercy of Christ? Through the mercies of God? Through the mercies of the empty tomb? Is that what it says? Say it. Our mercy, through your mercy, they may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon our denominations. That he might have mercy upon those that are baptized the way we baptize.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.